Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Good day to you. Thank you again for honoring me and giving me the pleasure of your time on this episode of the No BS Bishop. I'm alive to love all lesser values, our potential BS. I'm Bishop Randy Dean, and week in and week out, I'm here with one word, one message, one thought, and that is love, L-O-V-E. The songs are written about love. Paintings are painted about love. Photos are taken about love. Stories are told about love. Entire movies are produced about love. Broadway shows are made about love. Am I right? Everything in life has some taproot, some foundation in the significance and the power of love. So I'm, you know, if you know me at all, you know that I'm a Christian minister, have been. Oh, my goodness. I have to stop and think every time. It's because I'm getting so old. I'm coming up on a half a century of being a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I have come to the conclusion that there is one value to all of that. One solid taproot foundation to what our faith is about, to what religion is about, to what church is about, to anything that you can call the pursuit of Jesus Christ is about. It's about love. Now, I've also decided that all of life is about Christ, then all of life must be about love. 1 John says, "He who dwells in love dwells in God. He who dwells in God dwells in love." We have got to, I believe, really simplify and bring our focus, draw our bead on the target, the bullseye of love. There is no other subject worthy of our time, of our effort, of our tears, of our laughter, of our artistic expressions, of our sermons, of our buildings, of our programs. It's got to be about love. So this is why, week in and week out, I've been at this No BS Bishop radio broadcast now for a solid year, and every episode, every discussion is about love. I'm in it for the long haul on this one, folks. At 67, I plan on finishing my race on this life course on the subject of love. And so today and next week, I'm going to break this up into two parts. I want to talk to you about, and I want you just to listen carefully to the heading of this, because it's going to seem like I just am contradicting everything I just said for the last 5 minutes, but I'm not. I'm really underscoring it with a way of coming at it, come around at it again, and speak to it in a way that will get all of us thinking more deeply about love. And that is this. Here's the subject for today and this next broadcast. And that'll be the 7 imperfections of love. Now, yeah, I know. You say, but I thought love was perfect. Well, it is. It is so perfect. It is so outstandingly majestic that it will hit the human psyche. It'll hit the human mind as imperfect. I'll put it another way. The simplicity of love is found in its sheer impossibility. See, and anybody knows this is true. Everybody that's walked toward love knows this to be true, that as soon as you have aimed at love and you're determined, I'm going to love no matter what the cost, well, you discover it's pretty expensive. No matter what the cost is a preamble to what it is about to cost you, it will be expensive. The simplicity of love is found in its sheer impossibility, because, you know, just as soon as we surmise we got a grasp on love, I know this, the passionate nature of love is going to immediately outgrow our grasp. So we'll set out on a race to grasp it again, and we'll always find out. As soon as I've got a full grasp on it, I'm going to find out, oh my, It's growing again because the passionate nature of love is an ever-expansive beauty. It's an ever-expansive growing principle. The principle of love is that it is never, ever static. It doesn't just land in one little tin can that says, oh, well, here's love. Because if that was the case, then my goodness, we would all have love to the fullest. But the truth is, love has to grow because we as humans have to grow. And as we grow through the seasons of our life, love grows as well. It's just as simple as this. We cannot live without loving or being loved, even as it is impossibly challenging us at every turn. So this broadcast, and I'll do it in two parts, and the next are going to be based on the thought that there are seven imperfections of love. So hang on to your hat. Let's do this. Put on your thinking cap with me. So whatever works for you, hang on to your hat or put on your thinking cap. I want you to consider the seven imperfections of love. The very first imperfection of love is that love, that is love, will always, at some level, at some time, be rejected. Real love, honest love, the beauty of the best love you can give is its rejection. Rejection is at the core, I believe, of what a growing love will end up being about. Think about it this way. When we say, God so loved the world, we all know that his love, God's love, has not been fully received by everyone all the time throughout whole history. The greatest example, the greatest beautiful portrait of love is God alone. And we all know that God's love has been rejected. That isn't because it's so ugly and perverse. No. It is because it is so perfect. Think about it this way. The most perfect love there is owns its own imperfection that it has not always received. The first imperfection of love is rejection. And, you know, think of this as well. Rejected love isn't always final. Rejected love isn't always final. You may discover with your own child as you're a parent, you may discover at any given stage in their life, from their being born to adolescence to their teenage years, even their midlife, you will discover that at any given stage in your child's life, there are levels of rejection of your love. Does that change your love? Does it make you say, nope, I'm done loving you? No, it doesn't. You will always love that child that was born to you, that was given to you, that you adopted, that you gave birth to. That is impossible for you to let go of that. So as a parent, we all know that there are phases and stages of life where the love of a parent is rejected. So in this first imperfection of love, I want to remind everybody, if you're living in some level of rejection of your love, do not despair. Do not throw in the towel. Do not give up. Don't for one minute believe the ugly lie that somehow or another your love was all wrong, that you should never have loved to begin with. That is not true. Love has inherent to it the imperfection of rejection. That is, I believe, as the first imperfection of love, it is the first step that we take toward growing in our love. We all know that I cannot live without love. We'll try, but we also know that after a certain amount of time, and I personally think it's a shorter amount of time than most of us think it is, and it's shorter because it probably takes us longer to admit that we really have to have love. It just takes us more time to admit, oh, okay, I can't afford to just throw in the towel and walk away from love. No, I don't. Nobody does. We all know we've got to return to the principle of love. And we know that when we return to the principle of love, that rejection in and of itself will spur me forward to grow in my understanding, my comprehension, and my dedication to love. So that's the first imperfection of love, is rejection. Fear not. Do not despair. That is part of the nature of love. It is so grand that there are so many people around you who are living wounded, living injured, that the best kind of love you can bring to them is likely to be rejected. So that's the first imperfection of love. Hang in there. I'll get to better ideals along the way, but I am talking about the imperfections of love. The second imperfection of love is like the first. The second imperfection of love will cause you deep introspection. It'll cause you to know that I've got to know myself. You've got to fall on your face sometimes and ask yourself hard questions. Rejection is the first principle of the first imperfection of love. But secondly, the second imperfection of love is it leads me to introspection. Nobody enjoys introspection, really. I mean, we can get into a dysfunctional pattern of an overt, constant look inside that doesn't give us the opportunity to really grow along the way. But I will tell you that a healthy introspection will lead you to find more ways in yourself to improve. The introspection is an imperfection of love, because in the introspection, you're going to find that you failed. Yes, you failed. But because you failed doesn't make you a failure. Just because you had mistakes doesn't make you a mistake. It simply means you're one of those 7 billion on the planet right now. You know what that is? You're human. You're human. And in an introspection, a healthy, robust introspection of your life, you'll find failures, mistakes, missteps. In the imperfections of love, first there's going to be rejection. But in the second imperfection of love, there's got to be introspection, to find in yourself the courage to look at yourself in the mirror, to know yourself, to thine own self be true, sure. But in order to be true to yourself, you have to be honest with yourself. If you're going to return to the beauty, return to the significance, return to the pursuit of love, then the pursuit of love will cause you deep introspection. Now, I know, again, you can slide into the dysfunction of being far too hard on yourself. You can slide easily from introspection to just self-loathing, and that is not what I'm talking about. On any given day, if you have had a solid hour of introspection, make sure in your introspection you find the capacity to congratulate yourself for a few things you've done right. And then measure your failures by virtue of what you've done right. And then ask yourself, of what you've done wrong, how can I do that right? Which way will cause me to improve in my love life? So the introspection, you know, the 12 steps of AA. I'm a big proponent and fan of the 12 steps. Through a healthy moral inventory, I have found in myself the capacity. You know, inventory of a store means I'm going to find all the canned goods that are good, and I'm also going to find some canned goods that got dented or they're leaking. So in my inventory, a healthy, robust, moral inventory, I'm going to find both the bad, but I'm going to find the good. And the imperfection of love will always lead you to a healthy moral inventory. Be brave about it. Be courageous about it. You know, make sure you bring somebody in on your moral inventory. Bring somebody in on thinking it through, talking it through, walking it through. Again, not for the sake of self-loathing or beating yourself up or letting somebody else beat you up. Don't ever do that. But have somebody that you have deep trust in and a deep sense of the sense that you know them well enough to know they're not just here to make you feel bad, that at the end of the day, they want to make you feel better about yourself. So in an introspection, in the second imperfection of love, in your introspection, find the good and find the bad and make a list of it. Check it twice. Make sure you're not just being sloppy about it, or again, self-loathing, or overly self-congratulatory. That's part of this too. I guess I better say that too. Just make sure that there's real honesty in there. That if you have the desire at all to discover love, make sure it's deep and wide, and it's beautiful. And here seems like a circular thinking. Make sure your introspection is loving. All right, there you go. So number one, this of the seven imperfections of love is rejection. No real love has ever survived anything, any practice in life, but what it has been rejected. Number two of the second imperfection of love is introspection. Yeah, I know it's bothersome. It's time consuming. But you know, inventories are always valuable, whether it's a business or a personal life. Inventories are necessary to keep up with what's working and what's not working. So number three in the seven imperfections of love. Now, here again, I need you to put your thinking cap on with me. Be ready to think more deeply than what you're used to, all right? The third imperfection of love is that it will never, ever end in any given person, project, or thing. Your love is never ending. Now, think about that. Give it some perfect moments of thought, would you? It's never ending. If a love seems to you to be complete, then I would suggest it's time to think again. Love is never ending. Let me put it to you in romantic terms. You know, when we were young and our hair was perfect and we didn't have to put any kind of color up there on top of our head, or we didn't have to, we were just naturally beautiful or handsome. You know, when we were young and we looked at that handsome lad or that beautiful lady, that love just came about with almost like the sun rising. And man, next thing you know, we thought, ooh, I love him. Oh, I love her. So take it forward from there. Then about 10 years later, after you've been with that person and you found that this person was at one point just so easy to love. Now, 10 years later, next thing you know, this person's got toothpaste messes in the bathroom. They've been trimming their facial hair and leaving it in the sink. This is a person who is not. I want to be nice here. Their personal hygiene isn't always what it used to be. Now suddenly they've gotten sloppy, and now we've got a whole nother way that we're gonna have to discover love. The third imperfection of love is it's never ending. It is not static. It does not stay in one place. And in fact, life itself has this evolutionary curve that keeps moving us toward other places in life. You know, I heard a man say one time about his grandfather. He said, you know, my granddad, when I was a little boy, every morning when I was with my grandparents, every morning my grandpa was up first. He was up in the kitchen to begin with, and he went into the kitchen and made a pot of coffee. And before grandma ever hit the floor, grandpa was always making her coffee, and she got the first cup of coffee before the day took off. I heard that story. You know, it sounds so simple, doesn't it? It just sounds so basic. But when I heard that story as a young man, it occurred to me, first of all, as a young man, I wasn't doing that for my young bride. I hadn't developed that kind of habit. In fact, I was more lazy than that, much more lazy than that. I was just happy to lay in bed and wait for the smell of coffee to hit my nose for her to have that coffee and my breakfast ready for me when I hit the floor. And that's when it occurred to me that if I didn't change how I was loving my wife, I was going to be forced into change. My love had to grow. It is a never-ending process. Remember the statement of purpose I gave at the very beginning. The simplicity of love is found in the sheer impossibility of it. Because as soon as we surmise we have a grasp on love, the passionate nature of love will always outgrow our hold. And then the race to grasp it again is going to always draw us forward. It's simple. We cannot live without loving or being loved, even as it is impossibly challenging us at every turn. I've pastored people all my adult life, and I know this to be true. I have walked with couples in terms of a marital love and romantic love. I've walked with couples in those early days of the googly-eyed, happy, joyous, oh, we're so in love. And I have discovered that those people in that beautiful place, I'm not making fun of it. I'm just saying it the way it is. It's so beautiful and palatial that they don't think it's ever going to be different. I know we're going to hit the rocks somewhere. I know there's going to be a flat tire someday. I know he's going to burp and she's going to look terrible, and there's not going to be this fantasy of, oh, we're so in love for all their lives. They're going to have to discover in the reach that there has got to be a never-ending pursuit of love. It's the imperfection of love, if you will. And I'm asking again, put your thinking cap on about this. If it is a never-ending love, if love is to be never-ending, then our pursuit must be never-ending, and it's going to have to discover ways to love that won't look like yesterday's ways. That's how love functions, and it's the delightful imperfection of how love lives through a lifetime. Now, for today's purposes, I'm going to split this up in two. So next week, I'll finish the seven imperfections of love. But I want to hit number four before we get away. And if you listen to me week in and week out, would you do me a favor, please, and make this your homework? Think through these first four imperfections of love. The first one being rejection. The second one being introspection. The third imperfection of love being that it is never ending. And the fourth imperfection of love is that at some point it hurts. It hurts to love. Now listen to me carefully. I'm asking you to put your thinking cap on. It hurts to love. I've told this story here before, but it bears repeating right now. When I was a young boy, I think 11 or 12, and my first dog, Tiny, had reached her limit of life. She was an old dog. We took her as a rescue, but she was a delightful little dog. She was faithful. She was loving. And she was just one of those great dogs. You know what I'm saying? She was a little Manchester Terrier, and there was just so much about her that just kept my little boy heart beating. But then there came that day when it was time for Tiny's little dog years to be done. I did not have a compartment in my childlike brain for having to put her down. I did not have a category in me for that. Nobody had explained it to me up to that point. I had not experienced it up to that point. I did not know that there was such a thing that you could take the dog to the doctor and the doctor couldn't get your dog better. And I remember when my mother said, we got to take Tiny to the veterinarian. And I was so relieved because she wasn't doing well. And I thought, oh, good, they're going to fix her. You see, at that point, I wasn't prepared for love's hurt. The deeper we love, the more potential for hurt there is. Remember that when I'm telling you in the seven imperfections of love, love hurts. Now, I'm not saying that it is self-inflicted. I'm not saying that we should pursue hurt. You won't have to pursue hurt if you really love. Love will lead you to some points of pain and injury. The nature of love in itself, as I said to begin with, is that there will be rejection at certain levels. Now, in my story about my little dog, my first dog as a kid, listen, she didn't reject me. She just simply could not live any longer in her condition. And for me, I had to learn the difficult imperfection of developing a category in my love for the potential of hurt. It hurt. I cried. I nobody could console me. I had an uncle who was always, you know, Mr. Joy, Mr. Laugh, Mr. whatever it takes to make Randy smile. He tried and he couldn't do it. And I appreciated his efforts. But I got to tell you, at that stage in my life, I remember thinking, nobody gets it. Nobody understands. What's wrong with all these people? They don't know how deep this hurts. And the truth is, everybody around me at that point in their lives, they knew they had had some compartment, some department in their thinking and their emotions for the hurt of love. Well, I'm growing close to the close of this particular broadcast, but I'm going to break this up into two parts, the seven imperfections of love. And today I've talked about rejection, introspection, never ending, and yes, real love will at times and moments hurt. And boy, it will hurt like hell. But we've got to reach from that depth of hell for a better place of heaven. Well, I'm so glad you joined here today, and I'm going to tell you once again, there are two exercises we close every No BS Bishop with that are very important to me, and that is we do the most basic thing in life for a human being, and that is love. That is love. It is to breathe, and to breathe with consistency. I know it sounds simplistic, but I know to have a consistent deep breath keeps our blood pressure low, it keeps our body focused, and it keeps us thinking straight. So would you join me, please, just with a couple of breaths to practice. Draw in a deep breath and hold it. Nice and deep. Hold it down to the bottom of that lung. Oh boy, just feel the air hanging in there now. Exhale. Do it again. Draw it in deep, all the way to the bottom of your lungs, and exhale. Now, I have a sense that somebody listening today, because there's no accidents in life, somebody today has just experienced the hurt of love. And I want you to know you will love again. And I want you to know there are many, many, many people around you who understand your hurt, but some people, most people, really don't even know what to say. So the best thing you can do is just listen to me right now, because I got three mystical words.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com. And we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.